Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Evert, and today we have Lily Wilson, and she runs Veils by Lily. So without further ado, let's get right into it about the veil with Lily. Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Evert, and we are here with the beautiful Lily Wilson. Hi, Lily. Thank you for being here with me today.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
So tell my audience what you do for a living.
Well, primarily, I'm a wife and mother of six, but I also run Veils by Lily. That some people may be familiar with. We've been doing this for 10 years now, which is amazing. But yeah, we make veils. We also import some veils from Europe. But more than anything, we just try to have beautiful veils for women to wear, you know, that will make women want to wear one. And it's all about glorifying God.
Absolutely. And the reason I wanted to do this, because out of nowhere, we're doing a radio show on the veil, but I thought it was so important because a lot of people are going back to the traditions of the church, and a lot of things seem to be changing and a lot of uncertainty. And I've been veiling for, oh my goodness, it's got to be at least what? Maybe 10 years now. Oh, it makes me feel old saying that, but I probably have been. But there have been times in my life where I wasn't wearing it, and it just felt different going into the house of God with my veil and then without my veil. And at first, I didn't understand why those women I saw in the church were wearing the veil. And a lot of people don't, because it's something that's such an old practice and non-existent in the church that when I would see people wearing the veil, I'm just like, what is that about? Whatever. That's their deal with God, right? And I went to confession one day and with my spiritual director, and he really just kept encouraging me to wear the veil. And finally, I thought, okay, Lord, you've put this on my heart. And I really prayed through it. And I really felt like it was something that God was prompting me to do. And like all things, I had my will, and God allows us to choose what it is we want to do at the end of the day. And I started wearing a veil, and I said, okay, I'm going to do this for 1 month, Lord. If this is really what you want of me, I'm going to do it for 1 month. And I was completely insecure, and I felt embarrassed and out of place. But it was really interesting when I went in, because I put it on, and I felt all those things like going into the church. But when I walked into the church wearing my veil for the first time, I'm going to be honest, I felt so much peace within mm-hmm. myself. And like, that was just the right thing to do. And I really started thinking and pondering. And then I started thinking about, wow, I get dressed up and I wear all these different clothes to go to all these different places. But this is the one place and the only place where I cover my head out of honor and glorifying God. Nowhere else on earth will I cover my head, except if it's cold outside, and that's for my own self-gratification to get warm. But it's honestly, when I put it on, it really is to glorify God in his house and nowhere else. So I've said a lot there, and I have more to say, but I want to just get in so there's no confusion. I think it's important that before we really get into all of this, to say that there is no judgment on anybody if you don't veil, or you don't agree with veiling, or it's not something that you want to do or ever will do. That is completely fine. It is really a decision that you make, and that's between you and God. But I would love to really get into, what is the veil, and what is the history of it? Why do we only see some people wearing it? And just to give a better idea and a clearer understanding of actually even what happened to the veil. Can you tell us that, please, Lily?
Yeah, so this goes back all the way to the early church. We hear St. Paul mention it in 1 Corinthians 11, and it's continued in the church ever since then. You know, you have women wearing veils and not really questioning it really throughout history and all the way to just prior to Vatican II. And so at that point, it was actually in canon law, and it actually remained so until 1983, that women should wear veils when going into church and men should remove their hats when going into church. And so, you know, there was a lot of things going on in the 60s. You know, we have the feminist movement, and we also had, I think, a lack of understanding about the veil. I've had a lot of women come up to me and look at what I'm doing or what I'm, you know, selling, and they'll be like, oh, you know what? I remember this. I used to have to put on a tissue on my head before going into church, and I had no idea why, you know? And so it seemed like something that made no sense, you know? But, you know, pairing that lack of understanding with everything that was going on just prior to Vatican II, it was like a recipe for, you know, you might say disaster. I don't know about that. But, you know, Vatican II came, and they didn't really plan to talk about veils. But the media did what the media does. You know, somebody asked a question, are you discussing veils? And some Vatican official said, no, we're not. We're not discussing it. And the media twisted that and started reporting that veils were no longer required. And now, you know, you wonder, how does that happen, right? Yes. Well, it happens all the time nowadays. But what happened is that people just, you know, took what they expected was the answer, or maybe what they wanted to hear, and they just ran with it. And, you know, you had things like the National Organization for Women, you know, that were all, you know, staunchly pro-abortion. They led a campaign to have women send their veils to their national office to be burned, amazingly.
Oh, my
yeah.
goodness.
And so when the Vatican tried to clarify that, no, that's not what we said, veils are still required, well, you know, the damage was done. And so now, I don't say this about Vatican II to say there's anything wrong with Vatican II. I mean, you can have a whole conversation about that. But just to say that between the lack of understanding about the veil and everything else that was going on, it made it possible for lies to flourish. You know, you might have women, or you might have people saying that the veil is a sign of women's subservience to men, things like that.
When mm-hmm. I was doing my research, right, and when I was looking into the veil, one of the things that kept coming up, it was like a badge of slavery. And I right. thought, what? That makes no sense to me, you know? And I did exactly. more research into that because I'm like, that just doesn't sound right. And when I was reading, just like the feminist movement in the 1960s exhorted women to remove their badges of slavery to men and to get rid of their veils and their aprons. So it mm-hmm. wasn't just the veil. It was almost like the whole, it was almost just stripping women, I feel, of part of their vocation almost, you know, and our femininity and what God intended for that. And I could be reading into that way more than I should. I don't know, but that's a big deal. That is a really big deal.
It is. But I think, you know, the Holy Spirit always has the last say, you know, I think. And I think that's what's been happening the last 10 years or so, maybe a little bit more. I think the Holy Spirit has been leading us to rediscover this beautiful tradition, you know, as we rediscover our faith, we rediscover who we are in relation to God. And it's like, you can't hold back the truth, you know, it's going to come out and it's going to set us free, always. It might take a little while, you know, it might involve some struggle, but in the end, God always wins. And I think that's what's coming out now.
Yes, that's what it does seem like. And oh, Alice von Hildebrand, I always have a hard time pronouncing her name. And I love her quote. And she said that the veil doesn't represent my slavery towards men, but the female body should be veiled because everything which is sacred calls for veiling. She says, veiling indicates sacredness And it is special privilege of the women that she enters the church veiled. If I look at my life and the only time I actually put on a veil before I started actually veiling, when do you wear a veil, ladies? Think about that in your life. I know my first communion, I had a killer veil that I absolutely loved. And I played with it after, like, oh my gosh. And I would pretend I was getting married. And I just loved my veil because there was something about it, right? But then the other time I veiled was on my wedding day. Those are the only two times. And those are the two times you're receiving a sacrament, right? But we receive a sacrament when we're coming and we're engaging in the sacrament of receiving Jesus in the Eucharist. So it would make sense that we would put on that veil, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's really amazing. You know, you might think that, you know, there's nothing really that special going on, but, you know, you're receiving God. You know, the same God that created the universe is yes. actually coming down and you are about to receive him. And there's just nothing more amazing in this world than that. I think that that needs to be said. And we need to give that its proper weight, which is, you know, do everything for that.
You know, I love that. We have to give it its proper weight. And I think people have become very careless with Jesus in the Eucharist, and our way we think about it, the way we look at it, and even our belief in it is dwindling. And it's very sad, but I agree with you, Lily, that it holds a lot of weight. And again, I am not judging anybody that doesn't wear the veil. This is not what this is about at all whatsoever. And another thing I thought was really interesting when I was doing my research is that I just typed in women who wear veils, right, on online, and women who veil. And it was interesting, the pictures that came up of all the different women that met Pope John Paul II. And we're talking Princess Diana is in her veil. And I know it was protocol, but the fact that they had to recognize the holy and the sacred, and they wore those veils. Ronald Reagan's wife, we had Princess Diana. I see Melania Trump. And you know what else? Hillary Clinton wore a veil when she met the Pope. And I literally took a double take. I'm like, wait, what? Is that Hillary Clinton? Which is fine, you know, and it's part of protocol. I understand that. But it's really beautiful, these women that understand there is a holiness and a sacredness, and they were covering their head. And Jackie O, for sure. I mean, she was going to Mass in her veil. And there are such beautiful images of her in her veil. I love those. So there are women out there that are well known that have put on the veil and their own private reasons or protocol, whatever, but it's really beautiful to see. So Lily, one thing that my spiritual director told me way back in the day when I was just starting this is that the three corners of the veil represent you're under kind of the protection and the mantle of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Is that true? Is that correct?
I think that's a great way to look at it. I don't think anybody has officially ever said this, like, you know, promulgated this as an official theology. I don't think that there is an official theology of the veil other than what you might read in scripture. But even that is actually very obscure sounding, and it's hard to understand. And so I think it's really important to, first of all, see what the veil really means, but also to acknowledge that different things have different meanings for different people and can resonate in different ways depending on, you know, our own experiences. And so for you, that was something that resonated and something that really went to your heart, you know, and for other people, it might be other things. And so, you know, the basic meaning of the veil is that it's an external sign of an interior desire to humble yourself before God. And he's, like we said, truly present in our churches as a sign of respect. And the fact that it's a veil and not something else, right? So something that we put on our heads, that comes from the marriage imagery that's used in scripture, right? So in Ephesians 5, especially, St. Paul talks about how women represent the bride of Christ, the church, and men represent Christ, who's the head of the church, right? And you mentioned wedding veils and first communion veils and how, you know, the little girls going for their first communion, they look like brides, right? Mm-hmm. So yes, yeah, that's exactly it. So we are brides of Christ, and a veil signifies our submission to the bridegroom. Right. And so I just think that's so beautiful. You know, this whole marriage imagery is used in the Bible a lot to represent the relationship of Christ to the church. Right. But also to represent the relationship of God to the soul. Right. And this is especially in the Song of Songs. Right. And so. Really, our veil is really a sign of our free choice to give ourselves to him completely, you know, so that we in turn, so that he can pour out his divine life into us. Okay. And so you see this most saliently with women religious, right? Women religious wear veils all the time as a sign of their complete gift of their lives to God. And so you and I, we don't have that vocation, right? But we're still called to give ourselves to God completely, whatever that looks like for our state in life. And so we don't fail all the time, right? Like women religious do. That's not our calling. But, you know, if we have discovered the meaning of the veil and it resonates with us, then we do veil in response to that calling, you know, like when we're with him in the Eucharist, which is his most particular presence, you know, for us. So, you know, and some people actually tend to ask, why don't men wear veils? You know, like if we're all sacred and precious to God, then why don't we? Well, it goes back precisely to that image of marriage, of the bride and the bridegroom. We represent the bride. Men represent the bridegroom. So that's why men don't veil, you know, and each one of us has a specific way in which we're called to humble ourselves before God. And so for us, we cover our hair. And for men, they uncover their hair, you know, and I've heard some people really understand it better when I say something like, well, you know, when a man takes off his hat, you know, he might have a bald spot or something, and that's going to be humbling. You know, you might put it that way. Oh, and so, you know, we all have, in the same way that we all have different callings, we all have different ways in which we humble ourselves. And for men, it's one way, and for women, it's another way. And we don't have to be the same, you know, so.
You know, one thing that it did help me open my eyes to, which is pretty obvious anyway, but we all have these, like, I feel like we have these big conversions in our life and we go deeper with Jesus, but then there's always these little tiny conversions, right?
Yes.
In our lives that we have, baby steps almost. And as I was wearing the veil and as time went on, I realized, wow, I'm also veiling because this place, God's house, is really set aside from the world. And we should see it as that way because this is his house. This is his dwelling place. This is where heaven comes down to meet us, right? On the altar, Jesus. And I just know when you enter the church, you're entering a holy place. It's holy ground. And that's where Jesus is. And so when I put my veil on or I'm at the church and I have my veil, it's this outward sign of knowing in my heart, this is holy ground. This is where Jesus is. This is God's house where he lives here with us on earth. And there should be reverence and there should be respect when we are in God's house. And I think that we've lost that as a society a bit with the way things are carried out in the church sometimes. But yeah, I think it just really resembles that there's a holiness and a sacredness there, because even as we cover in, the tabernacle, there is a veil when you open the doors because the holy, the sacred is there. And there's definitely something to be said about that.
Yes, and Crystalina, I think that we need to remember that we're human and we're body and soul. We're not just spirit, and we need physical reminders of
yes.
Where am I? What am I supposed to do right now? You know, something sometimes that can also help with distraction. You know, I've had a lot of women tell me that their veil helps them to center themselves on God.
Yes. When
they would rather be thinking about, you know, what else I need to do and these other things and my kids and appointments and all those things that are necessary, but it's also necessary to come back to God so he can fill us with himself, and then we can carry him out from there, you know?
Yes, absolutely. And then also it's beautiful because, wow, this is the time I'm going to spend with Jesus. This is the time I'm giving to Jesus, and I veil when I do that, and that's when I'm talking to God, and that's the only time this is the only time I'm covering my head, that's the only time I'm putting that on, is when I'm with Jesus. And that's beautiful, and it really sets that time, and I feel like I'm setting myself aside from the world, and I'm being with Jesus, God, and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful, peaceful time that does happen. When it does happen, I have 10 children. Well, I have 8 children, 2 babies in heaven. But my goodness, when I do get that time, it's beautiful.
It is, and it is so very necessary for us. You know, and I wanted to touch a little bit also on what you mentioned about the 3 points of the triangle. You know, not all veils are in that shape, right? Some are.
Well, for like little girls are just like for little girls, goodness, it's just round. I remember having my little tiny round veil when I was really young. But no, please tell us about the different maybe cuts of the veil and also the different colors. I know there's different colors, and does that mean anything? Or I know that if you wore a black veil way back in the day that you were married, if you wore a white veil that you were not married. Is that true?
It is true that it was that way back in the day.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you know,
there's a lot of different colors of veils.
Yes, and really nowadays it's just choose what you're most comfortable with. Sometimes, you know, it might be important for a particular person to choose a veil like you did, like with the 3 points, you know, and that has significance to them. Other people might choose, you know, an infinity veil, which is like an infinity scarf. And you can think of the eternity of God, you know,
whatever.
Beautiful. I agree. Like I said before, you know, different things resonate with different people. You know, some people like to wear whatever liturgical color goes with the current liturgical season. So we have, you know, purple veils now for Advent. We have a few green veils. That's not as popular a color, I'll tell you that. But, you know, some ladies like to buy themselves a green veil for ordinary time, a red veil for Pentecost, or we do have actually a red veil for Christmas too, which is a really nice one. But I think it's all about really getting into your faith and following the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You know, where is he calling, you know, calling you to? What's going to have some kind of significance for you? And as far as, you know, the black and white, you know, in some places that is a thing, you know, where women who are married or women who are older sometimes wear the darker veils, and women who are not married, they wear the lighter colored veils. In that same parish, you might find an older woman who really likes white, and she wears white, and that's totally okay, you know. And actually, I've seen that in some Asian countries, women only wear white veils. And so my mom, I was living in Japan a few years ago, and she told me a story about how she went into mass in Japanese at the time. Normally she would go to the English mass, but for some reason she ended up there, and she went in and she saw a bunch of ladies who were wearing only white veils, even the older ladies,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so it really varies. And I will say I have had a lot of questions about the distinction between using lace for a veil versus a solid kind of fabric. And so, and I guess I should also mention that some people tend to have a negative reaction when we say veil because they think it means only lace. And if you don't use lace, you're doing it wrong or something like that. And I just want to say that's not the case at all. Okay. So a veil is really anything that covers, whether it's solid or lace. And just to prove this point, what they called the veil of the temple in Jerusalem, that was, it was like a curtain that was like 4 inches thick. Okay. So a veil doesn't mean flimsy lace. So we're really free to choose any kind of head covering. I will reiterate and say that we're also free to not veil at all. And so it's important to know that we have that freedom. Okay. Freedom is so wonderful, and everything that is not sin, you know, the God wants us to be free, and the freedom that we are given is, you know, I think a chance for the Holy Spirit to blow as he wills. And so, most women, I think, though, find lace the most appealing because I think it has something about, I don't know, it just seems more feminine, you know,
and delicate.
And I think that's fine. I think that's a fair thing to say. I do agree that that lace is very feminine, and that's actually one of the reasons I prefer lace.
Yes.
Although we are, I will say we are considering adding some solid fabrics to our collection. But that's my own preference. And I think most women really do lean in that direction. But like I said, I'm open to anything.
So we are here talking with Lily Wilson, and she runs Veils by Lily, and it's L-I-L-Y. And we are going to take a quick break with our friends over at EWTN, and we will be right back. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Women Made New. I am here with Lily Wilson, and we are actually discussing the veil today and veiling and what is that all about. And I personally do veil, and I don't want to give this impression that that I'm wearing a veil because I'm holier than you or it's more pleasing to God in his eyes. It's really a personal preference and decision that I'm making as a woman that I would like to veil. And when I go into the church and I have my veil on, and I've already said this, that there's just something holy and sacred about the time that I put on my veil is I'm going to be with Jesus. And that's a time that is definitely set aside from the rest of the world, because there's nowhere else I will be wearing that except to be in the presence of God. And that's partly why I wear it. And I don't want women to feel judged if they don't. That's not what this is about. It's personal preference, and that is okay. And the veil comes from really deep-rooted traditions in our church that maybe have just kind of gotten thrown out and don't seem like a big deal. Because I have worn a veil in different churches as I've traveled around the country, that I was the only one in the whole church wearing a veil, and people looking at me like, what is she doing? They had no understanding of it whatsoever. And in times like that, I don't want to be a distraction. And a part of me felt bad, but at the same time, I'm going there to please and serve God. And that's what I felt he asked me to do, is veil. So again, it's really a personal choice, but it helps when you understand what it is, where it comes from, and why women are doing it. And more and more, and maybe you've seen it too, Lily, is that a lot more women are making this choice to veil, because as things change, rapidly change in our world, they're changing in our church, that we are clinging to the tradition and to the past, because I feel traditions are foundations, they're foundational things that we hold on to pass through the generations. And when I think about veiling and what it means, it also makes me think of my femininity, who God is calling me to be, my motherhood, my vocation as a wife and a mother. And that's something that I had a hard time with when I got married, because I didn't see that tradition in the house. I didn't see that Leave It to Beaver mom. She was a very successful woman traveling around, but I didn't have that Leave It to Beaver mom at home. And there's something to be said about that connection of having the veil and wearing the veil and just holding on to those traditions and things that I now would like to have within my home. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. And, you know, for me also, it was a very, very personal decision. And I think what God was calling me to was to be at peace being who I am. I think a lot of times we struggle with the veil, because, you know, some ladies might be feeling called to wear the veil, but you know, there's that struggle. I don't want people to think that I'm doing this because of, you know, some other reason. I don't want to appear as to be, you know, such and such, you know, but more than anything, I think God wants us to be at peace. He doesn't want us to be scrupulous. And he does want us to be confident in who we are. You know, we're made in the image and likeness of God. We each have our own personalities, our own gifts. And what I've gotten from the veil the most is that God is here to take care of us, to protect us, to give us his love. He wants us to have full knowledge of his love for us, because it's that love that changes us. That is the love that leads us to become truly who he made us to be. You know, and, you know, I mentioned the gift of femininity. That's a really important reminder that I needed. The fact that it's on my head reminds me that God is taking care of me at every moment, but especially during that sacred time of prayer in his presence. You know, we're all wounded by original sin. Okay. I'm not an exception. I'm just like everybody else. but at the same time, you know, God is constantly working to heal our wounds. And I'll share a little bit about my own spiritual history and my own history, period. That, you know, I have my own wounds. You know, some of them happened when I was very young, and the veil to me is like a sacramental that tells me the truth about who I am and whose I am. And most especially when the enemy is trying to use those wounds against me. And so I'll share a little story. And this happened just a few weeks ago. You know, it had been a pretty difficult day. My mind was really scattered. And so I went to the chapel, you know, to be with Jesus, because he always helps me. Mm-hmm. So I went into the chapel. But listen, I was so scattered, I forgot to put on my veil. And I walked into the chapel and I saw a woman sitting in front of the tabernacle with her long white veil on. Okay. And now you might be shocked when you hear what my reaction to seeing her was. Okay. But you have to remember my woundedness. Okay. So my initial reaction was something like, does she think that she's holy just because she's wearing a veil, right? Okay. And I stopped and thought about that. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just thought that, you know? You know, I was shocked at myself, but, you know, the veil that she was wearing kind of made me snap out of it. Like, Lily, she is a beloved daughter of God, as are you. And that's when I started thinking, oh yeah, you know, there was something that happened earlier in the day that reopened, you know, one of my wounds, and I had given in to feelings of self-loathing without even realizing it. And so when I saw her there, you know, that was my, you know, my self-loathing there, you know, having a field day for just a moment, until, you know, I kind of snapped back into it and just said, no, look, she's wearing her veil because she is a beloved daughter of God. And I am too. And Lily, get your veil out of your purse and put it on right now because that's who you are, you know?
That is who you are.
And so it's just, you know, I really think that it has such a great value as a sacramental. If it speaks to you, it has a great value to remind you of who you are when the enemy is trying to bring you down. And I am pretty sure I'm not the only one that struggles with this kind of thing, you know, but I think that that it can be something that we use to our advantage in reclaiming our identity as beloved daughters of the Father, you know. So it's really interesting, too, because I started veiling originally because of my grief at having missed the reality of the Eucharist when I was younger, right? So I was like, oh, you know, nobody behaves as if this is really Jesus. And so when I rediscovered the Eucharist, I was like, okay, no, now we got to do something about this, you know? and so I started veiling, and I loved the, you know, the meaning behind it. And I loved how it said something about who I am in relationship to God. But it was really more at that point about I want to do something for God, and I want to have a reminder of my commitment to Him. And really, my focus at that time was really more on Jesus and the Eucharist. But, you know, through the years, and it's been about 10, 11 years since I started veiling, through the years, you know, it's evolved. And I think this happens with a lot of people in various things, in their vocation, things like that. But God has led me to realize that I do it now because in that relationship that I had with Jesus at the time, He led me to see who I am in relationship to God, not just in my head, but in my heart, that I am a daughter to the Father, just as He is Son of the Father. And so I've discovered who I am in the eyes of the Father. And you know what? I think that was Jesus's goal all along, you know, to share yes. with me His identity as beloved son, that I too might become the Father's beloved daughter. You know, and so I started with one reason, and now I keep going for another reason, and it's all about just continually responding to God. And I mentioned this in another radio interview, you know, a few years ago, that it's a reminder of my own commitment to responding to the continual call to conversion, right? And that is how God works in us. You know, if we allow ourselves to experience continually the mercy of God, especially in the moments of darkness, but also in the moments of joy, you know, that is how God really molds us to draw us to Himself and to become more who He has always meant for us to be. And so, you know, I really think that the spiritual life is a journey. So this is not all just about the veil and what that means and how do we do it, but it's really about the spiritual life, you know, and the journey to God. And I think that when we remain close to God in prayer, you know, by faithfully turning to Him in both joy and sorrow, in light and darkness, God in His providence works all things for our good. You know, for me, God has healed wounds I didn't even know needed to be healed. And He continues, you know, to call me to live in that freedom, rejecting, you know, the kind of advances of the enemy that wants to bring me down, you know, like that one day in the chapel, you know. And so the veil reminds me of this reality, and it really helps me in the fight against those lies that the enemy tries to get me to believe.
Well, and let's talk about that really quick, because that's the thing. I want to go back to your story, Lily. I'm kind of just in shock because here we have...
I know, right?
Veils by Lily. You run this. And the reason I have you, because that's where I got my first veil. Well, the priest gave me one, but it was kind of a hand-me-down, and I wanted to really just have this beautiful veil. And I was looking all over, and then I came across your veils, and oh, I loved them. I fell in love with them. They were beautiful. And my first veil I got from you wore out, and it just, I needed another one after that, but I still have it. But it was one I haven't seen anywhere else. It's beautiful. I don't even think you have it anymore. But I want to go back to your story of one who runs and does and creates these gorgeous, magnificent, beautiful veils for women to wear is looking at a woman in a church.
Mm-hmm. I know, right?
You know, and just like, blah, 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 blah. But this is the thing. It just so goes, ladies, and all my listeners out there, to exactly, and I'm going to keep going back to this because it was such an epiphany for me, of Dr. Paul Thigpen's what he said, because he wrote A Manual for Spiritual Warfare, and he said that all of our thoughts are not our own. And one of the enemy's tactics is he actually is allowed to give us certain thoughts. And right there, he gave you that thought. Yes. And you had to decide in that moment, because we are the gatekeepers for our thoughts, if you were going to accept that lie or not, right? Right. And you started to, but then you rejected it, right? And then God brought the grace and the sense into what was really going on. But ladies, if you are having these thoughts that you know are not your own, because to me, that was just a blatant attack from the evil one in a moment of weakness you were having, right? Mm-hmm. That, wow.
Yeah.
That we really have to manage and be mindful of being that gatekeeper, because the battlefield really is in the mind. We've heard that time and time again from a lot of different people. The battlefield is in the mind, and it holds true that you are going to get thoughts and you're going to get insecure, and it's going to really run amok because you're going to think and think and think. Then you're going to start saying it out loud. Then you start self-talking it, and it just beats, the devil's using your own words to beat you up. So just, ladies, please, and Lily, your example was to perfection of this battle and this tactic the devil uses against us. So please take note, ladies, because it is so, so very important to just really have that safeguard up. So I want you to tell us, Lily, why did you start? Why did you just start Veils by Lily? Because not a lot of women are just like, well, I'm going to start a veil shop. You know, that's what I want to do on the side. What made you start that?
Yeah. So, you know, I never set out to do it. That's the first thing. I get a lot of comments from people who, you know, they're well-meaning, but they think that one day I decided that I was going to start this thing and I was going to make it big and it was going to have a lot of, you know, followers. No, that's not at all how that happened. You know, I made one veil one day because I had seen another woman wearing a kind of lace that looked really nice. You know, it seemed like to have a really nice drape, a nice weight, a nice flower in it. And I just thought it was just so pretty, you know? And so
I bet it was.
Yes, it really was. And so I went to the fabric store to see if I could find anything like it. And so I did. I bought a piece of lace, I bought some trim, and I thought, okay, they taught me how to sew by hand back in sixth grade. I think I can do this.
Wow.
And it took forever.
Oh,
it took
bet.
Forever to sew the thing by hand. And so I finally finished because I was that determined. But then for the next one, I thought, okay, maybe I could teach myself how to use a sewing machine. And so I went and bought a sewing machine. It was not that hard. So I made a second one, and my mom was visiting at the time. And she said, oh, you know what? You should sell these. Put up a website. You know how to do those things. And she knew a little bit. I knew a little bit about the computers, you know. And so I did. I followed her little encouragement, and I posted one veil, and then I posted another. I was a member of some online groups, and I told people, hey, you know, if anybody wants a veil, I've got some. And the orders just started coming in. And wow. I was like, okay, what just happened?
Probably shocked yourself, right?
Yes. And at the time I was working part-time as a research assistant for a university here. I was working from home, and pretty soon it got to where I couldn't do both. So I quit the job, although my husband, and you know, in his prudence, he really I guess he's a really good balance for me, because I tend to do things more rashly. But in his prudence, he said, well, maybe you should wait to quit until you've broken even. And I was like, okay. And I went to see a friend of mine, Debbie Lewis. She passed away recently from cancer. But at the time, this was 10 years ago, she had just had surgery, and I was sitting on the side of her bed. We had just, you know, prayed the rosary. It was a Friday. I remember it just so clearly. And she asked me, so how are the veils going? And I told her, and she said, well, when are you going to quit your job? And I told her, well, my husband thinks that we should wait until I've broken even. And she said, how much until you break even? And I told her like $100, and she happened to have $100 sitting right there. And she grabbed it and put it on my lap and said, here you go. You just broke even. And I was just like, okay. I went home and I told my husband, and he's like, okay, I guess that's it. And and it's, you know, been a really amazing journey, always striving to do the will of God and put family first as well. And
that's right.
But yes, for sure. But I think, you know, I've heard you mention this in the past, Crystalina, when God wants it, he makes sure it happens.
Yes. And if he gives you the promptings and you're obedient, our obedience is huge. And just listening mm-hmm. to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and being obedient to them, there is such power and grace that comes along with that. That is, that it's transformative in someone's life if they actually do it, right? And the things that God wants to do through all these different women that he's trying to talk to, and they're not listening. It is so sad that, ladies, some of you right now, maybe you feel called to veil and you've been scared, or you felt insecure like me and you didn't want to do it and you're kind of fighting, but God keeps putting it on your heart. You are not alone. You're not going to be alone in this. And I'm going to tell you right now something that was so beautiful that happened when I started veiling in my church. Oh my goodness, that courage is contagious, right? And so I had the courage to do that. And I think 20 more women followed suit within that month and started veiling with me. And my friends started veiling. My mom and sister started veiling. Everybody started veiling. And I'm sure it wasn't just, oh, well, Crystalina's veiling, I need to veil. No, it had nothing to do with that. It had to do with God was talking to them in their heart in his own way of how and what he wanted them to do. And they listened. And who knows what came from that, right? So it is so important. You never know how your testimony can change lives, and you never know how it's affecting the person next to you. And the only reason I truly feel that I'm even sitting here able to talk to you by the grace of God is because way back in the day when I was at my darkest hour and I was just consumed by sin and the world and everything I was doing and self-hatred, that young man stood up and he had courage. And it was his story and his light that pierced my darkness. And I don't even think he knows it yet. And one day, God willing, I'm going to meet him, right, in heaven or here, whatever God wants. But you never know how your testimony can transform someone, if you talk to them or not.
Yes. And Crystalina, I think a lot of women do struggle you know, with the whole idea of veiling, I think that the Holy Spirit is prompting many women to start veiling. But there's a struggle there. I think there's some fear, especially because of what others will think. And I just want to say that I think this struggle is actually a good one.
Yes, you have to push through it.
Yes, you do have to push through it. And I think it's a call to let go of our dependence on the opinions of others. I know that I'm not the only one who has in the past really clung to the opinions of others for validation. I think that's a very, very common thing.
Yes.
But if God is calling you or putting just this desire in your heart to start wearing a veil, you know, it's a great time to realize that maybe we give a little bit too much value to the opinions of others and not enough to God's opinion of us, you
well
know?
Said.
Yes. And I think we're all works in progress. I think that's true. But I think this is a work and a struggle that God helps us in. And he rejoices because he wants us all for himself. You know, he wants us to experience the joy of knowing that we are his. And I want to speak a little bit about the very, very common concern about standing out, about the concern to draw attention to yourself. And I think it's really important to say that it really, first of all, is between you and God. And you need to be honest with God. Go with God in prayer to this desire and be honest about why. Why do you want to do it? You know, is it because you want to feel this kind of closeness with God? Is there something that you feel could be between you and God that is not currently there? You know, a deeper trust, a deeper surrender to his will for you? Or is it really, you know, well, I want to look holy and I want this person to think that I'm holy? Which one is it? You know, we can be honest with ourselves. You don't have to tell somebody else, you know, except maybe your spiritual director if they ask, you know, but be honest with God. And I'll be honest, and I will say that I have yet to meet a person who truly, honestly wanted to wear a veil because they thought it would make her look holy.
Yeah. You know? It's true. It's so true. There is a misconception there.
There is. And we do have that battle of words within ourselves. But again, it's our choice. You know, we get to choose which way we go. And you know, a really important thing that a Jesuit priest actually said to me one time, you know, he said, you know, it's a good idea to test that spirit every once in a while to make sure you're, you know, doing it for the right reasons. And he said, you know, every once in a while, don't wear your veil and see how that makes you feel. And, you know, I told him, oh, you know what? Yeah, that's happened to me several times. Like, I'll forget my veil.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay with it because forgetting my veil at that time was God's will for me. And so I just surrender, right? The veil is about God and about surrendering to God. So I surrender to God and I say, you know, it was God's will. He allowed me. So he didn't want me to forget my veil necessarily, but he allowed it, right? Because I'm, you know, human.
That's right.
And I was fine with that, right? And so it's really about being honest between you and God about your motives. And once you are confident in that truth, then you can go forward confidently, you know, with the fruit of that prayer. And what other people think is not going to be so important anymore.
Well said. Well, thank you so much for being here at Women Made New. I'm sure it's going to help a lot of people. Thank you so much, Lily.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
I want to thank my guest, Lily Wilson, for being here. If you would like to get in touch with Lily, you can go to veilsbylily.com. And if you'd like to know more about my ministry, you can go to womenmadenew.com. I hope you all had a wonderful and blessed Thanksgiving. And just know you are in my prayers. Have a great weekend, everyone. God bless.